The five mental hindrances are those which obstruct samadhi, concentration, from arising. They are things that overcome our mind and have been close friends of our mind since the beginning. We order our mind, "I don't want to think about various things," but it doesn't listen, because it has been trained in that way. So we need to train our mind. The mind has been accustomed to restless thinking, which makes it chaotic and hot. It thinks about things that we like and things that we don't like. It proliferates about them. Or it has doubts about various things. There are skillful thoughts and unskillful thoughts. But now we will try to stay with the meditation object that will make our mind peaceful. This is very skillful. Practice establishing awareness with the in-breath and the out-breath, just as you have been taught. With the in-breath, we know. With the out-breath, we know. With the in-breath, but with the out-breath, to. Or we can count the breath. The in-breath, one. The out-breath, one. We count them as pairs. Or we can count quickly. With the in-breath, we count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. With the out-breath, we count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Some people do this and the mind is still chaotic. It isn't peaceful. There is another method, where we establish awareness in this body, from the soles of the feet to the top of the head, and from the tips of the hair on the head down to the soles of the feet. We contemplate this bodily heap, seeing that it is simply elements going according to nature. That which has liquidity in the body is called the water element. The in-breath and out-breath are the wind element. The fire that digests food, that keeps the body warm, is the fire element. Then there is the earth element. The hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin, bones, and so on. Whatever has solidity is called the earth element. We separate this body into four heaps. We contemplate it. We heap it up into four heaps in four directions, and we pick it up and contemplate it. The hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin, going inward to the internal organs, the skeleton, and so on. We separate it out, separate it out. These four elements gather together and form this body. It becomes me and mine. But when we contemplate, we will see that it isn't like that. The teeth in our mouth, we say they are ours because the nervous system is connected to them. But if the nervous system can no longer feel them, then they become natural elements that we can see clearly. We take out all the teeth in the mouth and pile them up. Then there is nothing really there. This is just an example. Or we take out the leg bone or the arm bone. Some people have a leg amputated because of diseases such as diabetes. The leg is cut off and then it is placed there. It is simply a natural element lying there. So we contemplate. These things are gathered together and they are taken to be me and mine. But in reality, they are not that way. We use contemplation. We contemplate often like this. We contemplate consistently, back and forth. Contemplate often, and then the mind can become peaceful. When our body dies, the breath is gone. The four elements gradually deteriorate and decay. If we throw it away and do not cremate it, it will slowly decompose. We look at it and see that it is not beautiful, not alluring. It is not me or mine either. It becomes the dwelling place of all kinds of bacteria and diseases. That is why when the body dies, it has to be cremated. When the breath ceases, whether we have a big house or a little house, they take the body and place it in a coffin. Why? Because it will spread disease. We can't leave it there. It has already become a nest of disease, so it needs to be taken care of and disposed of. It is like this. We live in this house, this body, only temporarily. While we have it, we use it for benefit. So we contemplate like this. Whenever we die, the breath goes. Then we throw the body away. Whatever is me and mine disappears. It becomes someone else's afterwards. We use it in this world only for a certain span of time. But the mind is not like this. The mind is deeply deluded and clings seriously. It is seriously deluded by conventions. This is truly me. This is truly them. This is called avijja, ignorance, tanha, craving, upadana, clinging. We always want more. This is tanha, craving, longing, not knowing how to stop, never having enough. It brings chaos with no peace at all. But when we come to train the mind, we need to train the mind that thinks, fabricates, and proliferates. All the skillful sportsmen in the world have to train and coach themselves in their various sports until they become skilled and develop special abilities. So we are cultivating the mind, and we are also training it. Sometimes, don't be discouraged and think, how come I have been practicing for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and still haven't got anything? It isn't peaceful. Never mind. Be patient. You can use contemplation. Sometimes we are told to stay with the breath, to stay only with Butoh, but we feel that we like to think. The thoughts don't stop. So we use thinking to create new thoughts. We direct them to thinking about the body. This bodily heap is gathered together and taken to be a body, taken to be me and mine. But in reality, there is only the earth element, water element, fire element, and the wind element. We contemplate them and separate them out, and the mind becomes more at ease. The wandering thoughts reduce. When we die, the body is left in the cremation ground. It slowly swells up, becomes putrid and bloated. When it becomes so bloated, it ruptures. It becomes food for the maggots. The body becomes infested with maggots. The mass of maggots gradually eats everything in the body. It decomposes and dries up. The blood flows away. The wind element goes. The heat element goes. The earth element gradually decays and decomposes until it becomes like a heap of dirt. Separated out like this, there isn't anything there. It all turns to emptiness. There is no self to be found. So why do we cling to this little heap, so tiny in this world, in this universe? But our mind clings to it so seriously. It is taken as me and mine. We contemplate it back and forth, and it gradually gets better. The mind becomes peaceful sometimes. Thinking stops for a short time. Then it starts thinking and proliferating again, so we contemplate it again, and the mind feels at ease, with more inner joy and fullness. This is called using wisdom to train our mind to have samadhi, concentration. When we do this more often, we become more skilled, and the mind becomes cooler. We may be able to see the breath more clearly because the thoughts have reduced. then it is easier for the mind to stay aware with the in-breath and the out-breath. The mind can remain more with the in-breath but and the out-breath to. Butto means the knowing one, the awakened one, the radiant one. We reflect on the knowing one, the awakened one, the radiant one, together with the breath. Ultimately, Butto disappears, and only the in-breath and out-breath remain, becoming more and more refined. Vitaka, initial application, stays with the breath. Vichara, sustained application, stays with the breath. Bhiti, rapture, arises, and we are filled with joy. The body is light, the mind is light. The mind begins to gather together and becomes more firmly concentrated. There is inner happiness in the mind, a great deal of happiness. We have never experienced this kind of happiness before. There is inner happiness and there is strength. The mind has more strength, coming from our thinking and contemplation of the Dhamma. If we think about other things, the energy dissipates. The more we proliferate about the past and the future, the less energy the mind has. Proliferating about things we like and dislike wastes away the energy of the mind. It is not peaceful. So then we do not see the truth that the Buddha taught, that this body is anicca, impermanent, dukkha, unsatisfactory, and anatta, not self. We wish to believe it and see it like that, but we just can't. Why? Because the samadhi, the firm concentration, is not strong enough. So wisdom cannot arise. The reason some individuals were able to see the Dhamma, contemplate the Dhamma, and become sotapannas, stream enterers, was because their samadhi was ready. They listened to the Dhamma with wisdom, contemplated along with it, and were able to see the Dhamma as well. So listening to the Dhamma well leads to the arising of wisdom. It leads to seeing that all the things we regard as self, as me and mine, are only conventions. Glasses, rings, money, gold, all the things we use, houses, shelters, whether we have a lot or a little, they are all conventions in this world. Even their names are conventionally created. One glass is called glass. In other languages, it is called something different. In Chinese, Thai, and English, it has different names. So in reality, what is it? It is simply elements going according to nature. Then we conventionally call it small or large, and so on. Like this hall. If 200 or 300 people come and fill this hall, then this hall feels too small. See? The feeling that it is too small has arisen. If 50 people come into this hall, then it won't feel that small. It will feel bigger. Or if only 10 people come, then this hall feels even bigger. If we look with a still mind, this hall is not small and this hall is not big. It is simply just right as it is. But our mind proliferates about it separately. It fabricates it separately. It is like a mango tree. We want to pick the mangoes using a stick. If the mangoes are 10 meters high, but our stick is only 8 meters long, we say the stick is too short. It isn't enough. If we have a stick that is 12 meters long, then we say the stick is long. But in reality, why is it short or long? The mango tree is simply the height that it is. It depends only on whether our stick is short or long. The things we carry, whether they are heavy or light, also depend on convention. If we are very strong, then carrying 1 kilogram is easy. If we have little strength, then it is heavy. Dhamma practice is like this. If we still have little strength, then when an aramana, a sense or mental object, enters, we don't see it as simply as a sense or mental object. We see it as a self, as me, as them. We see a person speaking, a living being, a self, a being, a me, another. So we need to contemplate it as elements. The person speaking badly to us doesn't really exist. The person praising us doesn't really exist. It is simply elements going according to nature. The me doesn't exist. They don't exist. There is simply the body, simply the mind. When we see it as simply the body and simply the mind, then we see conventions. The glass is convention. Everything in this world is convention. There is nothing there at all. Then the mind goes to vimutti, liberation. It is temporarily liberated from conventions. Then how are we? We are at ease. The seeing of emptiness arises. We contemplate and the mind becomes peaceful. Then wisdom arises. We do this often. We contemplate that life must end in death. We contemplate regularly and consistently, and we are at ease. We look at material things. They are not permanent. They are uncertain. The self is uncertain. Nothing is certain. The mind is at ease. We don't cling to these things. This is called using wisdom to bring the mind to samadhi. Just as we study and gain knowledge, and then use that knowledge to earn a living, or we farm, or we have an orchard, or whatever skill we have, we use it. People in this era are often told simply to stay with Bhutto, but the mind doesn't stay with it. If it can't stay with it, there is another method. Recite Bhutto quickly. There is no need to watch the breath or count the breaths. Just Bhutto, 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 Bhutto. Recite it so that no thoughts can come into the gaps. Walk quickly. Bhutto, Bhutto, Bhutto. Or Bhutto, Dhammo, Sangho. Then doubt comes up. Eh? Just recite this. Why is meditation so easy? It isn't easy at all. It is difficult. If we doubt, then the mind becomes chaotic, and that is what makes it difficult. When one is not peaceful, doubts arise. Eh, is it like this? Is my character more suited to meditation, or is my character more suited to contemplation? So observe it and contemplate. Whatever method makes the mind peaceful, then practice in that way. Or we can meditate with Bhutto, Dhammo, Sangho. Simple. No need to make it complicated or chaotic. Whatever thoughts arise, we put them all down. They are uncertain, not permanent. We put them down. They are already in the past, so we put them down. We don't want the future. We meditate like this. Try to practice in this way. Keep at it. Keep trying until you can make the mind peaceful. May you train like this every day. May you set your hearts on this.